today in Rich in Relationship, we're going to talk about
how to master yourself in the divorce process. No matter how bad or good the person on the other side is, there are times in the divorce process when we feel like we are under siege and we react emotionally, find common ground for the sake of their children, rather than go on an endless war. Welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. I'm your host, Rich Heller. We've done over 300 episodes now, all on different aspects of relationship. And we're starting this new series on self-mastery in divorce. And you got to ask yourself, right? If the problem is the person on the other side, why is self-mastery so important? Well, I've worked with hundreds of people and I've even gotten divorced myself. And I consider my divorce to be relatively mild. And I can tell you from personal experience and professional experience, no matter how bad or good the person on the other side is, there are times in the divorce process when we feel like we are under siege and we react emotionally in a way that feels right in the moment, but often is destructive of the divorce process in the sense that it makes it more expensive, destructive that it's more painful for our children and ourselves, destructive in that it creates wounds that are hard to heal. Because let's face it, the person on the other side is usually the parent of our children and someone that we are going to have a working relationship with post-divorce, raising children. And so when old patterns come up in the divorce process and muddy the waters, it's very painful and expensive. And so in this series, we're going to explore what happens there. Where is that coming from? And what is this idea of self-mastery? Right? And the purpose is to help those of you who are getting divorced both to see what it is about the system that sets us up this way and what it's bringing up in you. And even though we can't change or control that person on the other side who may be a really bad egg, we can manage ourselves so that the best possible outcome given the circumstances can occur. I work with a lot of people who are divorcing narcissists or people who have a borderline personality or some other diagnosis, and the people on the other side are very difficult. And so mastering themselves in the face of their fear for their children, what's going to happen to their children, having that person as their parent down the line, for example, mastering their fear of what is going to happen if the court has authority and makes a decision that's not favorable for the children, mastering themselves is really important. Let's talk about common emotional challenges a little bit in this episode. This episode is going to lay the groundwork for future episodes. So the court system itself is set up as a combative system, right? It's there is counsel and there's opposing counsel. And there's a judge who makes a decision about who's right or what each one of them might be right about. And the judge's job is to find the best possible solution given the information that's being presented to them. It's a negotiation. And so the way the court system is set up as a negotiation, that means that the two attorneys have to present the best face possible for their client. And that means they show the worst face possible regarding their opposing counsel's client. That's in a worst case scenario. In its best form, there are ways to bypass that. In its best form, in litigation, for example, the two attorneys might set aside some of the criticisms of their opponent's client and strictly stick with these are the assets, these are the circumstances, and these are the most equitable way to divide them given how this will probably play out in court. But even under those circumstances, the approach of any negotiator is going to be first to ask for more than what they want. Now, I can tell you my personal experience with that was when my wife's attorney hit me with what they thought a fair settlement was, their first shot, their first offer. I was like, what? We don't even have this much money. What is wrong with her is what I thought. Right. So the attorney, her attorney made an offer from a negotiation stance that kind of like he was selling a car. Oh, the car is worth $100,000. And my attorney said, no, the car's worth $10,000. So I got her offer and I was like, what? That's so much money. She got my attorney's offer and said, what? He's such a cheapskate. Now, the truth is that neither of our attorneys were making offers that we had approved of. We'd approved of it in the sense that they come to us and explain to us, this is a negotiation stance. It's not really what we're after. But neither of us really thought, what's going to happen when the other person sees it? So when I saw her offer, I thought, oh my God, she's trying to pick my pockets. When she saw my offer, she thought, oh my God, he's trying to rob me. And we both went into emotional defensiveness. Because the way the system is set up, there was no other possible result. And we had a relatively peaceful divorce. We actually settled very quickly once we got past our initial response. But when we got into our initial response, it got really kind of ugly between us. Oh, you're cheating on me, aren't you? I know her name. I know all about her. I know what you're doing. Oh, you're trying to steal from me. It got really ugly for a while. Now, luckily, in my case, what happened was I met someone who was a divorce professional that I went to college with who coached me through it and explained the process and said, listen, you've got to stop being hostile. You've got to stop being manipulative. You've got to stop being so angry because you are sabotaging the divorce process with your reactions. That's what this whole series is about, how our reactions are uneducated based on our history, based on the way we were raised, based on all the things that have happened to us, reactions gets in the way. And because I had that person coaching me, even though the mother of my children was very reactive, I was able to chill out. I was able to back off. I was able to stop doing the things that were muddying the waters and making it hard. And we settled our divorce in less than a year. And even though at the time I thought it was unbelievably expensive and I thought I gave way more money than I thought I should give her, in hindsight, now that my children are in their 30s, back then they were 12 and 6, I'm like, oh my God, that was so inexpensive. And thank God she had that money, because if she didn't, she wouldn't have been able to show up for the kids as well as she did. Not that she ever showed up for the kids as well as I thought she should. For that matter, I probably never showed up for the kids as well as she thought I should, because that's just kind of the way it is sometimes, how we look at each other. But the truth is, because she had the money that we had, she was able to pay off her debts. She was able to get an apartment and be close to the kids. We didn't live far away. And it made things hugely more smooth to have that outcome, even though I felt like I gave her money that came from my family that she shouldn't have. If I were to do it over, I would do it that way again, because it was so much better for who? My kids. Now, that's to my 2020 hindsight. Back there then, managing those feelings, I spent a lot of time working around my reactions. Oh my God, this is my reaction. Then I go talk to my friend and she would say, everyone has that reaction. Let's talk about it. Let's talk it through. Let's put that aside, because that's not really what's happening here. So what are those reactions? Those reactions are unconscious defensive actions. Basically, we have behaviors, strategies in our unconscious mind that we develop in our childhood and we perfect over years in life. And when we get triggered, when we feel threatened, when we feel someone's trying to take from us, or when we feel someone's being dishonest with us or breaking trust with us, those reactions come up. And so part of this episode is going to be about that. And that's what self-mastery is about, right? Self-mastery is not about, I am going to be in charge of myself. I'm going to enslave myself. Myself is going to be my master. In fact, it is that mindset that leads to the sense that I'm sabotaging my own life. I'm getting in my own way. True self-mastery is not a master-slave relationship. It's more like building an inner family. It's more like taking leadership in your own life. And, you know, good leaders don't rule with an iron fist. Good leaders get their place as leaders by representing the interests of everyone involved. And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, why would I need to get the interest of myself? And the fact is, there's a lot of different selves in each one of us. Let me back that up. Have you ever had a really big decision to make and sometimes you hear all these different voices and you're confused? You feel like, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. and you start entering into an inner argument or dialogue about this decision you need to make. And yet, the more you talk about it, the more confusing it gets. That's because inside of us, there are these different aspects of who we are. They may represent our parents. There might be internalization of our parents. They might be aspects of ourselves at different stages in development. So in this series, we're going to talk about that also. Who are the different aspects of me that show up when I'm met with a challenge? And how do I get all of me, not just the one that's scared and learned how to fight? How do I get all of me involved in meeting the challenge in a way that shows inner harmony, certainty, and confidence? All right, because when we meet divorce, no matter who's on the other side, when we meet divorce with inner harmony and unity and confidence, we are unstoppable. Even if the court rules against us, we still find a way to do what's best for our children. That's what I mean by unstoppable. Unstoppable doesn't mean we get the end result in the court that we think we should get. It means that we manage the situation in a way that's best for everyone involved, us and the children, and ultimately even the other parent, right? That's where we're going. Self-mastery is about taking leadership on our own life. So that's what we're going to cover in this series. Now, there's huge empowerment, personal empowerment, in being a leader in our own lives and having a sense of inner harmony. There's huge energy when all of our interests, all of our concerns are united together. When we're able to let go of the hurt, let go of the fear, let go of the sadness, let go of the blame, and take anger and use it to take positive action that's best for everyone, a win for everyone, instead of just kicking ass, you know, taking names and kicking ass. You know, instead of doing that, when we can take action, energize action that we know is what's best for the family, that's when the good stuff happens. That's when the divorce ends in less than a year. That was my personal experience, right? That's kind of why I do the work that I do. I help people who are in a tough spot with divorce because I want them to have that experience no matter who's on the other side. That's why I work with couples who are having trouble getting along, because I want them to have the experience of taking the lead in their own life and making a decision for their relationship that's from a place of true self-care and care for the other person, not from a place of defensiveness, not from a place of warfare, not from a place of destroying the other person, but from uplifting one another, whether they're going to stay together or come apart. That's why I do work as a parent coordinator, helping people who are in the divorce process to find common ground for the sake of their children, rather than go on an endless war. Because that sense of empowerment, that's what it's all about here. That sense of feeling like I'm in charge of me. Not a slave to me, not a victim of me, but I'm in charge of me. All of me is behind what I'm doing. That's where the creativity happens. That's where juice happens. That's where passion comes out. That's where excitement happens. That's where new opportunities and possibilities happen. And you may wonder, how does that help with the other person? I'm going to tell you that when you're in that space, the other person, if they're in a destructive space, they don't know what to do with you. They're used to reactive you. They're used to saying, oh, I know where that button is. Bam, look at that. The jack in the box came out. They're used to being able to play you like a fiddle. But when we're in a place of personal empowerment, no one can play us except ourselves, right? How cool is that? How cool is that? So what I want you to do is I want you to take notes. I think I'm going to give you workshop style activities in this series. In fact, let me give you a workshop style activity right now. So if you are identifying with what I'm talking about here, and I'm sure that you are, because this is the human condition that I'm talking about, I want you to start keeping a trigger journal. I have no idea where we're going with this, by the way, but I promise you in the next episode, we're going to bring this trigger journal up. I want you to keep a trigger journal. All the things that have triggered you this week, not just in your divorce, but just things that are triggering you. Just start keeping a record. whether it's on your phone, you could have it on, you could have a recorder function on your phone and just record. Oh, that guy cut me off. That triggered me. I was angry. I wanted to do X, Y, and Z. Oh, he served me with papers today at my workplace, and I was so embarrassed. I was so pissed off. How could he be so thoughtless? And what I promise you, that next week when we get to the next episode, or maybe it's going to be in 2 weeks, when we get to the next episode in this series, I'm running a parallel series about marriage, by the way. Don't confuse this with the marriage series, that we will talk about the trigger pattern, and you're going to get to take a look at it and start to identify what's happening there. That's like, let's do some work together. That's what I'm saying. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. Let's start identifying the parts of ourselves. Okay. I want you to submit your questions. I want you to submit your stories. And if you want, I'll air them. Like, we will take your stuff and put it out there to help other listeners. I want to hear what you're getting out of this. I want to hear what you disagree with. I want to hear what you agree with. You know, give me some direction here because I want to help you. I got a lot of experience here. I got a lot to offer you. Milk me here in this podcast. Let me give you what you need to nurture you in your divorce process. So this is, like I said, this is the kickoff. We're going to be exploring pitfalls, tools, empowerment. We're going to be looking at the unconscious mind. We're going to be looking at the inner choir or Congress or whatever you want to call it, those voices that are in there and how to identify them. We're going to be looking at how to identify the behaviors and patterns that aren't working for you and actions you can start to take regarding them. And we're going to wrap this up with not just how to work around these strategies and behaviors, but as you become a leader in your life, as you start to enroll yourself, your unconscious mind, in what it is, where it is you're going, how to actually reprogram your unconscious mind. And we're going to talk more about the unconscious mind in the next episode. So stay tuned for the next episode of Rich in Relationship.